Welcome back to the Mel Kay Show. I have a very special treat today. Many of you know my guest from Gutfeld and Red Eye and the Greg Gutfeld Show. He's also a very, very funny comedian all on his own. He has been around quite some time, and he's a big voice in the movement for truth and getting back to normalcy of some sort. Thank you for joining me, Michael Luftus. How you doing?
I'm doing well. And how are you on this fine, fine day of the many banks failing?
Well, you know, I just assumed planet chaos. Like most, I didn't expect the bank fall to happen so fast as we were entering World War III. But it looks like this is the card they pulled this week. So what are your thoughts on just the constant chaos? I don't know how one being how your mind works and you're a comedian and you're looking at this. And it's not funny, but it is a little bit funny.
Well, like I go piecemeal, like each individual piece of chaos. But like big picture, this is everything they advertised with Trump, but for real.
Right.
That's the terrifying notion of it. It's like everything they said, oh, he's going to get us into World War III. Oh, it's going to be horrible. Oh, the banks are going to collapse. Oh, all this. And it's like, okay, so now we have this old guy wandering around the White House who's told what to say by God knows who. And literally, it's just coming down around the edges.
Yeah, I thought it was ironic that the winner of the Oscars that nobody watched was Everything Everywhere All at Once. It's like, what, are they talking about the movie or are they talking about the chaos? I think
that's great. But yes, it's actually a film about the Biden administration.
And it deserves
that's hilarious.
Let's be honest, it deserved the award of the year.
Yes, yes. It just must be nice just to be able to, you know, as Biden will do, is like, they tell me I gotta leave. And then he just walks away. Like, yeah. Who are they? Who are they?
Exactly. Exactly. And the crazy part is they are hell-bent on destroying America from within. That's clear. Now, let's just talk a little bit about you, because you started a long time ago. It's very hard. A lot of people know I spent 17 years in Hollywood, so I'm very familiar with the concept of not saying the right thing. And anyway, you don't say the right thing for Hollywood, but you have for yourself, and you've absolutely been able to make a career. And a lot of people think that's not possible. So take us back to before you started. I first saw you on Red Eye, but you were out there for a while. So just tell my audience a little bit about you, because you're a unique voice that was able to overcome.
Well, to a certain extent, it all catches up to you at some point. So started telling jokes, doing sketch comedy, stand-up comedy in Ohio back in the 90s. Then towards the end of the 90s, moved out to Los Angeles. Then accidentally fell into writing for television. Wrote on the George Lopez Show, a couple of cartoons, some stuff for whatever. So I kept my stand-up career going while writing for television. And then my career, I was writing on a show that was filming in New York, and just fell in love with New York. Wow. It's just like, I think it's a better version of Los Angeles, really. I honestly do. So I had been kind of vocal about my politics, even in Los Angeles, which opened up a bunch of doors and then closed a bunch of other doors. But I think it was when I was on Larry Kudlow's show, who's the British guy on Fox Business? Anyway, he's like, so you work in Los Angeles, you're in the entertainment business, and do you mind telling our viewers who you voted for? And I'm like, I voted for Trump. And it was like news. It was news. And that's when things really started. Like, it's funny. You would get a phone call about a project in development, and they're like, oh, you know, people love you. We want your help on this thing. And then you'd go, okay, cool. Let's get together. And then all of a sudden there'd be no refer. I think it's like they would Google me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then see, oh my God, he said this on Fox and Friends. And then all of a sudden they like, don't call him back.
Right. Right. I mean, I was there around the same time as you. And I also went from one thing to writing. And for me, I started to find that now you popped out of L.A. to go to New York for a job. So that's a little different. Yeah. When I was in L.A. during the last few years, probably 4 years, every time I go to a pitch meeting or go to a meeting, it would be they would start to kind of work in the LGBTQ plus or the BLM or the, you know, anti-racism way before the rest of the country even knew about it. So I say to people all the time, no, mid-2000s, everything that you're seeing now that's mainstream and DEI was already alive and well and controlling Hollywood. Did you feel that way, too? Did you see that happening?
Yeah, we would have a lot of meetings on shows that I was working on. Like, okay, so diversity, diversity, diversity. And they're like, you know, okay, so we got a white guy, a white guy, a white guy. You know, and it's just like, it's not the funniest people. You can only hire so many, like,
right,
just, hey, we're hiring you because you're funny. And they were like, okay, so we need, you know, a person of this type, that type, the person with this genitalia, regardless of how funny they were. So yeah, you're absolutely right. That was coming. That was coming in the early 2000s.
Right. That's and what it's I all say
just,
about that.
It's all just blossoming now, which is the thing that, like, I have a website, theloftistparty.com, and, you know, we do comedy and all this other, you know, crazy stuff. But, like, the seeds of this were planted and they continue to blossom. There's another generation after the one that's in the workforce now. You got the kids coming out of college now. Then you got the kids coming out of high school behind them. And now they're going for the little kids. So, like, the time to pussyfoot around is way over. Like, we have to dig in like Texas ticks, like yesterday.
Yeah.
Yesterday.
Yeah. You know, you also have been a big, see, I, you know, whenever you say that there's a war on men, especially white men, people are, oh, that's not true. It absolutely is true. And we're at a point where I don't really understand. You do it. Greg does it. A couple other people just push back. But I'm surprised that there's not more men, not just white men in general, that are like, hey, I'm not playing along with this. Because for me, the more we play along with it, the more we try to get along with people that are absolutely, to me, mental patients, and then we're all acting like they're normal. It's a problem, but I don't know why there's not more men pushing back.
I think there's a couple things going on, not to get too, like, serious for a moment, but, like, guys, we internalize everything. We don't want to burden people with our problems. Right. So you think that, like, okay, so maybe all my buddies are going through the same thing, but they're not talking about it. And so guys will internalize and they'll go, okay, I guess I just got to shoulder this weight to get along through this current environment. And then conversely, there's no pot of gold on the other side. This is why we need this secondary economy, so that dudes can go, okay, so fuck you and fuck your entire system. I'm going to go work for these guys and I can make a living over here. Once we open up the floodgates and get that option, then it's all over. Then the left is done. And that's like the Daily Wire's doing some cool stuff with entertainment. I know a bunch of filmmakers who are having some kind of success. But, like, I'm doing a sketch comedy show, That Show Tonight. People can go to thatshowtonight.com.
Yeah.
And I think the right and the big movers and shakers would be, they have to kind of finally address the thing that Andrew Breitbart saw so many years ago. Politics is downstream from pop culture. That's why Disney's putting this shit in all their movies. That's why Marvel's doing it. That's why everybody's doing it. So you get kind of indoctrinated in school, and then every form of entertainment just reinforces it.
Yeah.
So we need to throw massive amounts of it. It's just too funny. Like, we do this show on a very tight budget, but it's hilarious, you know, and we're, you know, fighting the big studios and all that other stuff. Yeah. People who will invest like $5 million in a candidate for judge in Albuquerque, exactly. And they will lose it all. They will lose it all. And they don't even, the judge doesn't get elected. They have nothing. And you're like, hey, maybe if you guys could invest like $250,000 in this show. And they're like, I don't know. Seems kind of crazy.
I know. That's the crazy. I actually live streamed the one that you did from Clay Clark's because Jim Brewer, you know, and yeah. You. And so I live streamed it on my channel. I got such good feedback. We had people the whole time making comments, how funny it was. And I'm sitting there thinking, and I remember saying to Clay after, why isn't anyone picking this up? I mean, this is a cash cow. And what we're learning is that these people, I believe Hollywood won't be able to pull this off much longer, ignoring the right, ignoring the massive amount of people that do actually look at this. Because when you were doing sketches, I had this when I was at SNL too, where I was like, how are they not making fun of AOC? How is that not a recurring, even if you love her? It's hilarious. Right?
Do you remember who was the girl on SNL? Just hilarious. And she did the character, the girl you never want to talk to at a party.
Right. I can't remember what her name
was. Why is she not doing, that was AOC before AOC.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the truth, but there's so much comedy. You guys were doing sketches about about COVID, about the lockdowns, about things that people need to laugh at. They want to shut out laughter. They want to take away that voice. I don't know if you saw like ChatGPT, people were saying like, do this in the voice of somebody who's not on either side, Chappelle. And it was like, no, sorry, I can't do that. He's too controversial and offensive. And you're thinking Dave Chappelle's I mean, I guess. All he's doing is saying what everyone else is thinking.
Well, that's the terrifying thing about a lot of these AIs is you can't help as the programmer but to put segments of your personality in there. So a lot of these AI things, they're like, oh, I can't say anything bad about the left and the liberals. But boy, you ask it to tell some Trump jokes and it will go to town.
Right. Now, here's the thing. So you're doing Gutfeld, and you guys at first, you're a regular on there. So at first, Red Eye, you know, that's on. Then they needed the Tucker rerun, so it goes down. Then he's, you know, obviously on The Five. Then he starts his night show. You were on it from the very start. Now his night show is killing the controlled government-backed late-night comics. I think that's pretty amazing. How has the evolution been for you to watch from the background of his show and all of you guys? You're like part of that team. You've watched it for the last 20 years.
It's been so completely satisfying. Being on, you know, Red Eye from Jump Street and yada, yada, yada. Like, so you know that this is real. You know that like,
right.
There's far more people with common sense that want to laugh about everything. They want to laugh about everything. And I took a bunch of meetings. I was going to sell a show, and I've never seen my agents this excited. Seriously, UTA was my agency, the producer's agency, and this is a big time. A lot of network shows, a lot of feature films. This is a very successful. Our agents were practically counting the money in the parking lot because it was a center right leaning version of The Daily Show. And it was just funny for funny's sake. And this is when I knew something was really up because Netflix, Viacom, CBS syndicating, Amazon, all of them were like, this is hilarious. This is hilarious. We love everything about this, and this thing would make a ton of money and be a huge hit. We can't put this on the air because
right.
we can't afford to be friendly to the right.
Right.
So that's what you have. You have an entire class of comics just being locked out.
Right.
So when Greg did his nightly show, they're like, oh, damn, they're moving him to like 11 o'clock. You're just, you can't help but root from the sidelines. Just like, go, go, go. And you're like, this has got to be a monster hit. This is, unless everything in my being is completely right. Wrong, this is going to be a monster hit. And then when it is, you're like, fantastic, fantastic, finally.
Yeah.
However, notice that no one's trying to replicate it. Yeah. Why are there, you know, there's three versions of The Tonight Show. Maybe four or five if you count Samantha Bee and the other you know, the Bill Maher's of it all. Right. There's like, let's say there's seven versions of that. How come there's only one Greg?
Yeah. Well, that's
no what... one is going to try to replicate it. They don't care about the money. They don't care about the ratings.
Right.
The left, it's a religious movement. It's like the it's like the Spanish Inquisition. They will not be mocked. If you do mock them, you will be. That's what the cancellation is all about. You must be punished to the nth degree.
Yeah.
So it's shocking. It's shocking that no one's trying to replicate Gutfeld, except for that sketch comedy show. That show tonight.
No, but that show tonight is very important. And I wanted to have you on also because when I first talked about it with Jim, even before you guys did it in Tulsa, I was talking to other comics and they were like, I want to get involved. Then I saw some cold feet, I have to be honest. And I was surprised to people that at first when I was like, Brewer and Loftus, they're doing this show. It's going to be like SNL for the right. And then, oh my God, that's great. I have ideas. Then it was like, okay, well, it's this date in Tulsa. Oh, well. like, and the craziest part is what people don't know that don't watch it, maybe you don't, but I kind of do, is that Hollywood's in a lot of financial trouble. There's a lot of people right now that cannot raise money that normally could have. And I also happen to know that the CCP China, who is funding a lot of not just most of the agencies, but also a lot of films, have pulled out a lot of money, too. So we are at a place where Hollywood's having a reckoning, a financial reckoning, and they're going to have to shift. I was surprised there was this movie that came out, Jesus Revolution. I don't know if you heard about it or saw it, but it did pretty well in the box office for what it was. And then I saw it was Lionsgate, and I thought, somebody in Hollywood is saying we need to make money. We need to make money. So I kind of think your show, first of all, for anyone that didn't see it, they can find it. You're now doing it online, right?
Oh, we have been. This is the story of that show tonight.
Yeah, tell that story.
Like, I had been approached several times to do this because of my background in sketch, stand up, and writing, you know, sitcoms and everything. And I love the original Lampoon and the early days of SNL. So time and was always a factor. But now with the lockdown, and as things happened, then we found this great space on Long Island.
Right.
This it's called the America First Warehouse. And these guys are just fantastic. And they got like 22 warehouses. And one of them is just decked out. And the guy who's like the genius behind it all was like, hey, can we put a studio in here? Can we put a stage? And I'm like, yeah, you can put a stage there. Lights there. Blah, blah, blah. So we do the show. We do the show from this great place, the America First Warehouse on Long Island. And Tulsa was just kind of like a, hey, right, let's take this. Let's just take this on the road. So we've been doing this for like a year. Wow. We've got a nice body, and it's so great right now. It's so exciting. Like Brewer and I did a couple skits almost a year ago.
Oh, wow.
And those are now finally getting traction on social media.
Cool.
You know, like, oh, this has got 500,000 views. Oh, this one's got 700,000 views. Right. And you're like, wow, that was like a year ago. But Facebook won't let us advertise. Right. Google won't let us advertise. YouTube, all the above. So it's wild. It is like a legitimate grassroots thing. And that's what, you know, makes it so exciting. But yeah, we have a great space. Long Island, we're doing another show on March 31st, and we got my buddy Dave Landau.
Oh, cool.
Viewers might know from, you know, Crowder's Mug Club, but he's hilarious. It's going to be great.
Cool. I mean, the thing about that is from when I was at SNL and I worked at a late night show before that, the studio's very, the stage is very small. It's not hard to replicate and it's not expensive to replicate.
Yes.
It really just takes knowing how to do it. And then, like you said, there's been a big, look at what's happening to SNL. There's been a big run from actual talent and earning it and working those years and doing shitty gigs all over the country at you know, colleges everywhere to earn it. Well, it's becoming true that if you didn't earn it and you don't have the talent and you don't have the chops, it's not going to work. So by you bringing that together in this location, it's interesting. It's in Long Island, where now you're a big fan of Long Island, where it's so blue, but I'm sure, I know people are dying for this kind of stuff. Is there an audience component, or are you looking at that?
Live audience.
Oh God, live audience. Come. I hope I'm there on the 31st. That's
yeah. Awesome. We got to get you out. I got to get you involved, Sister
Sledge. I will get involved. That's so fun. I mean, I started at Comedy Cellar when I was a freshman at NYU. I just hung around there and waited. And that was at a time when Rogan and Louis C.K. and Ross and all these guys sat in a booth in the back, hoping they'd get on stage at 4 a.m. You know, or 2 a.m. or something. So you know,
yeah.
It's the most fun in the world, but we got to take back comedy. And you're really doing that. And that is a big deal, because here's the thing, like you said earlier, and I think this, these demons that I feel like, for me, I think it's like this elitist class. So I call them the Fourth Reich, this public-private partnership along with the banking cartel that have kind of usurped all of our governments. You know, they're coming from the top down, as Larry Fink called it, they're going direct for the people. They're just Constitution, Bill of Rights. No, we don't care about that. We're just going to manipulate people's behavior through the banks and the corporations, which they've been thus far successful. But going forward, I don't think they will continue to be successful as long as we're supporting and promoting people like you. But I think these people, the thing they're scared of the most is being laughed at, is being called out. You watch this Noah Harari, and it's like, you can't even believe that it's real. But, you know, we have to start confronting it head on. And I feel like, you know, that's key to making this transition from total insanity to at least back to some form of sanity would be mocking these people.
Yeah. Mocking them and a secondary economy. Just really, it's like watching these banks go under. It's really, I mean, it's a very complex issue. But, you know, it's all ESG. And it's like, I don't like to see all that power in banking being consolidated. I know too many creators and artists who've been canceled.
Yeah.
And so, okay, so now all of a sudden you cannot bank. You cannot have a credit card. So as horrible as bailouts are and everything, it's like we got to protect these smaller banks and get our own banks going.
Right. Yeah,
and I'm doing
that now with some people. And also, like you're talking about the finance, a lot of people don't understand the reason that there actually is a lot of good content out there, but the distribution is the problem. And you found a distribution model. But I honestly believe the distribution model within 6 months that these companies like the Lionsgates, like the distribution outlets, will have to jump back in the ring. I know they don't care about money. They care about the narrative. But it does appear to me that at some point, money will matter.
Well, there's at some point it will. And here's a funny little side bet just to watch. Here's a funny little side. Like, Sony still wants the money. And you look at what they're doing with the Super Mario Bros. Movie as opposed to what Disney's doing. And I tell you, don't sleep on Nintendo. They could really give Disney a run for their money. By not being woke, just family entertainment. They already have the mascots and the cute little, you know, you got all the fuzzies, you got all the stuffed toys you could want. And then it's also interesting, DreamWorks and their recent Puss in Boots, which I hear is hilarious, and it's not woke at all. They just like, we're going to do family entertainment, just tell a good story. And so... hopefully. I just fear it'll be too late. You know, it's like, as we were saying at the beginning of the show, you've got like three more generations coming through.
Yeah.
It's going to be more CRT, more gender fluid, you know, more all of this.
Yeah. Well, that's why I feel like also what we were saying about men. Like these men, these fathers have to stop trying to get along. Like my thing is, I was doing a show on Rules for Radicals, the Saul Alinsky method, and how to combat that. And it's like, we keep apologizing. You've seen it with people that are canceled. I'm very good friends with a couple people that immediately apologized. They regret it now.
Yeah.
But people's first instinct is, I'm sorry if I offended you. No, you should never be sorry that you offend anyone. What I think we need to get away from the idea of being sorry for either telling the truth or saying things that we believe. I think that's a big problem too.
Yeah. And that's why, you know, they really were going after Jordan Peterson, and they continue to go for Jordan Peterson.
Right.
And it's wild. Like Ricky Gervais is another hero. Like, you know, how horrible are you? How narcissistic are you? Well, you think you can go through your entire life and not hear anything that's offensive. So, you know, and that's just common sense. But to the man thing, to the masculinity thing, I think we also have to look at, like, what in the fudge is going on with the testosterone?
Right.
Like, the testosterone levels have been dropping since the 70s. Sperm count is dropping off the rail, and you have these population implosions now, and no one seems to be concerned about it. And it's like the lack of the alarm bells is the biggest alarm bell. It's like with COVID, you know, like the World Health Organization says, well, fucking 7 million people are dead. And like, we're going to argue over masks, and we're not going to try to figure out where the fuck this thing came from. That's right. That was the craziest thing ever. And when literally, like, the population is imploding, testosterone levels are falling off a cliff, sperm count's going away, and no one seems to be worried. Like, no one seems to be worried.
I know. I saw one article about, because I was saying a lot about Beyond Burger, Impossible Meat, and Beyond Burger has, like, an extraordinary amount of estrogen in it. And I'm thinking, what the? And then the GMOs, we don't know. These people are so insane. They're so insane. But people, like, then you call it a conspiracy theory when it's like, well, it can't all be a conspiracy theory. There is a plan, a plot. They put it out there. Club of Rome, limits of growth. They think there's too many people. I think they think that there's too many people they don't want on the planet.
Yes.
But couch it as, you know, population.
Well, that's the terrifying notion. That if you think about this stuff for more than 30 seconds, you just accidentally stumble across it. It's like, wow, everything makes sense. If you pretend you're a James Bond villain,
right,
and you're like, how can I get rid of half the world's population? Everything suddenly makes sense. And that's a terrifying notion. And people seem to forget that human beings are capable of some real atrocious shit.
Right.
And if you don't think they'd off half the population, I got another thing coming.
Well, there's a part of me that thinks that the DEI, CRT, defund the police, you know, Black Lives Matter, all of that is not just to create the beloved and long-term plan of the elitists of a race war, but it's also very bad, I think, for the Black community. I think it's very bad for everyone in society. And the bottom line is, it's being created by a bunch of white billionaire liberals. If you follow the money, you're going to find the same 10 guys behind everything. I mean, and they have NGOs that sound really nice, you know, Human Rights Campaign or Tides Foundation or whatever. But then you're like, why is it? It's not Black people funding this. It's not, you know, LGBTQ people funding this. It's the divide and conquer. And enough people, I think people are waking up on a massive scale, but if people just stood back and looked at why they're picking these smaller communities and then making, because America, people hate when I say this, but it's 64% white. So doing all this for the Black community, meanwhile, it just takes away all of our liberty, but doing this all for the Black community or the LGBT community and saying, we don't want white Christian heterosexuals or white people. What's the end game?
It would be another thing completely if it was helping the Black community or if it was helping the Latino community, any community of color. If any of these policy changes, if you could really go, oh, but look at that, I'd be like, oh, okay, maybe there's something to that. But like, everything is just getting worse across every spectrum. Yeah. And like, you talk to your Black friends, you're like, so how long do you think this should go on? I mean, it's like everybody called it, you know, years ago when they're like, defund the police, defund the police. You're like, okay, well, I hope you don't live in an iffy neighborhood.
Right.
Because those are going to be the first ones to get wrecked. Because the rich people, you know this from L.A.
Yeah.
You drive around L.A. and all these neighborhoods have these signs like, we're protected by our own armed security.
Right, exactly.
Like, the rich people are always going to be fine.
Yeah, oh, totally. And that's the craziest part. Even in New York City, where I live now, is I'll tell you right now, the Black communities are in danger. They're all the time. These mothers do not want their children playing outside. It's constant chaos. And in New York, they've also brought in a ton of illegals that are also mixing in. And it's like, And it's just the controlled demolition of America from the inside out, in my opinion.
It really is. And then you'll see these memes, like some guy in the black community will be like, I've had enough. I'm getting a gun. And they're like, ooh, that's going to scare the white community. And we're like, no, get a gun. Defend yourself.
Right. And that's the other thing about the whole the gun topic. It's like, oh, yeah, but I'm sure all the criminals will be turning them in tomorrow. They want just the criminals and then the militarized cops. The other thing is that they fired and gotten rid of with the jab, with everything else, with different infractions. So many cops, or where they've defunded the police or demoralized the police, that it's then they're hiring the worst people to be cops. I see them. And now it's like nobody's safe. And it's just such a farce. But I still believe there's a backlash coming to all of this. Another thing I wanted to ask you about is you two also, you've been watching from the, you know, from wherever your vantage point, because you are in Fox a lot and all that. Now, there's all these implosions over there. And then people are really upset because Tucker Carlson does this, or people, they want Fox taken off the air. And I mean, it's just the constant attacks on Fox while people pretend that MSNBC and CNN are somehow a positive force. Is that laughable to you, knowing so many people there and what's really going on?
It's like Fox is going to be fine. Like they have their revenue stream and they're making money and they can afford really good lawyers. And it's the left has just been trying to bake that in forever. Fox is propaganda. It's propaganda. And that's kind of like just normal now. Like they've just baked it in for so many years. What I find really scary about all of this is like Newsmax losing what was it, DirecTV or AT&T? OAN. Right. Losing. And these I remember I was talking to one of the guys that runs OAN, and they were in a lawsuit about this a million years ago. And these cable providers go, well, we already have Fox News. We don't need another one. You're redundant. And you're like, well, wait a minute. Isn't ABC, NBC, MSNBC, CNBC, CBS, isn't that news all redundant as well?
Right.
And it's just that's where it you just keep coming back to the secondary economy. And that's like our friend Ed Henry, who landed over at Real America's Voice.
Yeah.
Real America's Voice is doing very well. Right. And they're doing the same thing that show Tonight is doing, where, and this is like the craziest thing. You're like, oh, I'm going to start a sketch comedy show. Well, I need to have my own servers. Like,
I know
it's not enough just to write funny shit. You like, we need our own computers. We can't be unplugged. And that's the crazy thing. And that's what Real America's Voice has. And
And they're all, a lot of them are doing that now. And that's where they're putting their money. Cause there are people that want to invest in comics, in music, in movies, in film, but that's a big problem. And it's interesting because we too, I mean, the truth is that you having your own server, because we saw what happened to Parler. You know, and then when people are coming to me, or I'm meeting with people talking about doing a documentary or something, or even a film, and it's like, well, how, not only how are we going to distribute it, but how are we going to make sure that the Amazon servers or any of these servers are where it's stored aren't going to shut it down. I mean, it's that insane, but it's all about control. But it's really, really that we're living in that kind of world. Now, I want to ask you something else, because you're a writer and you were in Hollywood a long time. I don't know if you've written scripts too. I've written a lot of scripts. That was my thing. But, you know, I've been looking at some of the movies in the last 20 years recently, and it's amazing. Do you believe that there is actually like predictive programming, like that movies movies have been written over time to get people to kind of accept things down the road? When I say what I'm talking about, there's a company called Participant Media, and they're very big with the World Economic Forum. Skoll runs it. I interviewed with them once. Thank God I would have been fired within a few days, so that didn't work out. For real. I say that too. I would have been kicked out of NYU within a month now. But I have to say that they put out a lot of movies. They put out, you know, like Inconvenient Truth and this and that. But they also put out this movie, Contagion, that just also happened to be the number one show on Netflix during the lockdown. It was a movie, I think, from 2012, where basically exactly what happened with COVID. It was like Event 201 as a movie. And then there's other movies like that. They also did Deepwater Horizon, which, like, in that movie, the antagonist is oil. Or they did a movie like they did Inconvenient Truth 1 and 2. But I feel like there's a propaganda machine in Hollywood that is like working with the powers that be. Do you see that, or do you think that's kind of a little too far?
I think both things can happen at the same time. I think that if you look at you're a creative person, you're trying to tell a great story, you go, oh, well, this would be, if this happened, that would be terrifying. That would be. Do you remember? There was a spinoff from the X-Files.
Yeah, briefly. I remember it. I can't remember what it was.
Yeah, called. And these guys had like they had. It was all conspiracy theorists, yeah. And it was the three knuckleheads from there.
Oh yeah.
I remember an episode of that show where they were on a plane and the plane was going to hit the World Trade Center.
Right.
Like a big jet, and at the last second, it went like that. So. I think that some of that happens. What concerns me more so is the active steering of population. I read an interview with the woman who created the Teletubbies. This is like years and years ago. And the Teletubbies, and she did this. She's very smart. She goes, computers are going to be the future. Every child is going to have to deal with a screen, whether it's a laptop, a pad, or whatever. So I want children to be comfortable in talking to a screen and interacting to a screen. And so that's what the Teletubbies are.
Wow.
That's why they don't talk. They're these cute, lovable television screens.
Right. Yeah.
And I think it worked like a charm. And if you look at this, goes back to the masculinity thing too. There's no more self-sufficient guy heroes. Like back in the 50s, you had John Wayne. In the 60s, you had Davy Crockett, the Lone Ranger. You know, all these, like, I'm just a man and I have to be self-sufficient. And everybody might think I'm crazy. You know, like Tarzan was really out there on his own. And all the children's programming now, the Care Bears, caring is sharing. Right. They're like, that's just a communism machine right there. And you can only do things as a group. It's all, the group has to do it. There's no individual achievement. So I think that that's one of the things that they're just baking it right out of us. I mean, I can't think, honestly, maybe Iron Man, the first one with Robert Downey Jr. was like the last movie where it's just like one guy against the world.
Right, because after the first one, then he became very dependent on all kinds of other stuff, and it became a Green New Deal
commercial. Yes.
And it's scary because I've heard from big directors too that say, like, they go in and they kind of have to put in something like that to get the funding. And I'm talking giant directors that are actually on our side, but would never get one. Funny, last week, a friend of mine who's a director, I was shocked at one of the big three agencies out there, you know, that three of them run everything. Was saying to him, you better stop putting stuff on Facebook about the aftermath of the injection and the death and the maiming and all, or you're not, or listen, you got, he was saying to him, because of your talent and your background, you still can get jobs, but it's not going to last that much longer. This is like in the last month that, like, you know, one of the big three master agencies threatened this guy, and he has a war. And he's like, I can't believe they're still doing that. But right now, I believe SAG and AFTRA, you still can't go on a set unless you have both shots and the booster. So something is going on in Hollywood that is really, really, that is, it's beyond what I already thought about the cult.
Yeah, well, they will. I mean, we'll see if they can pull out of it before they completely, you know, nosedive. However, the thing that, like, I'm really enjoying this conversation, because I'm like, okay, so let's get you and I in the same space. And let's get like three other people who understand the entertainment industry and have like a couple of nickels. Because I'm looking at like editing software, special effects software. Like you can make movies for a very low amount of money right now. a really low amount of money.
Yeah, and especially with the
distribution.
Right.
Listen, that show tonight, it's a subscription model, right? We make enough money on the subscriptions so that we can pay for the show and continue operating. That's wonderful. However, as more subscriptions come in, I want to fund other projects.
Yeah,
So I already have the infrastructure built.
Oh, great.
With the servers and all that stuff.
Yeah, and anyone that's watching that knows me, please get involved. Well, that's part of the reason I had you on, because there's a lot of people saying they're going to do stuff and you actually are. And now here's another, it's true.
That drives me crazy.
I know, but it's
okay,
true.
Okay, I'm just going to fucking let it rip. I'm just going to let it rip.
Go ahead.
All these dumb sons of bitches. Like, you and I, we met at CPAC, and while we were standing there talking, there was a lull, and we looked over at the set, and then I heard somebody, you know, you're like, your spidey senses are tingling. Whoever was on stage said something, and it just resonated. Like, you cannot lean on a shovel and hope for a hole. Like, all of these people, like, oh, well, I'm taking meetings and I'm hoping to raise money, because what I want to do is have studios built and then my niece will have a cooking show and it's going to lean to the right. And it's like, hey, if wishes and butts were candy and nuts, it'd be Christmas time tomorrow. I got a studio. I got servers. I have a cast. We are going. Let's go. Stop talking. Faith without actions is dead. I loathe these people who do nothing but talk.
Yeah, you know, and it's funny. I was talking actually to Brewer after our last show, and I was like, this is awesome. We got to do this. And it's like, he said the same thing. He's like, yeah, everyone thinks it's great until they have to show up or invest. But honestly, there's more people out there, and hopefully with this show and going out to, and I'll share a lot of your stuff with my friends because I wanted to have our first show together, but I expect to have more. There is so much content to be made. It is a treasure trove of untapped but not just for comedy. I mean, honestly, across the board, for sitcoms, for dramas, I could talk to you for 2 days, but I have another thing I want to ask you while we're here. So I unfortunately worked at one of the studios that was very big for the transition from scripted television, sitcoms, into reality TV. And now I look back, now, you know, I am known as somewhat of a conspiracy theorist, but I wear it with pride. But I lived through it. And I'm telling you that when I look back on reality TV, which is basically what politics is now to me, it's just reality TV. They cast it perfectly. Everyone's distracted. They're all on the same team after and have drinks together. Just stop playing along.
Yeah.
But the reality TV also that took over this country, I think, is one of the biggest things that is a signal of when our decline really, when it kicked into motion. Because I think scripted television, I go back and I watch some of these shows we watched as kids, even the sitcoms. Imagine if All in the Family was out today. I mean... You know, but I think that there's a future also there. And I think what are your thoughts on, I saw the reality TV come in, but again, I think that a lot of reality TV was about destroying society, making things normal, this kind of gladiator mentality, picking sides, distracting people. I mean, I remember even when I was early, I worked at MTV and people like every day they'd come in and they'd be like, whoever was their bachelor favorite, it was like ruin their day if they didn't win. I don't know. I think this reality TV is such a horrible thing. But I also think that we can go back to scripted and 1 hour dramas and 1 hour shows.
Yes, you can. And like one of the great things that really shored up reality TV was that there were some writer strikes going on.
Right. Exactly.
And reality TV was just so insanely inexpensive.
Right.
You know, and then when you have boring people that you're featuring on your reality TV show, you need a producer or a writer to go, you know what, maybe if you guys got drunk and you punched each other, that'd probably be a good idea. So you have to spice it up with this insanity. It's we can get back to 1 hour and more entertainment stuff. However, it's like turning the Titanic. It's going to take a lot of doing. One of the really wild developments in America, they would do these polls of second graders. They started doing it in like the late 30s, and they would ask these second graders, you know, what do you want to be? And it was always like, I want to be a president, I want to be a doctor, I want to be a fireman, a policeman. For the first time in the history of that poll, a few years ago, the number one answer was, I want to be famous. And that's a terrifying, like, our society has really been, I think, steered and manipulated towards this, you know, this self-gratification and, oh, look at me and I'm something special and everybody. It's really not it's really not a good look.
Right.
We have to really, in my opinion, get back to like, I want to be the best human being I can
right.
be.
Right. Yeah.
And I want to be I want to behave with honor and integrity and right. have a good time. And I don't want to be forced to help my fellow man. I don't right. want the government to come in like you give right. them that's money or we're going to,
yeah.
you should do it because you want to be.
Right. Well, government, that is not government's position anyway.
Yeah.
You and I both know that the guys, the founding fathers knew that people weren't inherently honest and good and going to do that. That's why there's separation of powers. And here yeah. we are again. But what you're saying, like, look at the Kardashians or the Real Housewives or any of this stuff or the influencers. And it's like, no, that's the worst case. I say they replaced the 10 commandments with the 7 deadly sins and just ran with it. And it's like vanity
yeah.
and all greed. And I think there's a big tide turning here. And I think that it sky's the limit. As long as we can start funneling and getting more money going towards that, where we're talking about actually bringing, you know, entertainment back to entertainment and being
yeah.
good for us. Because when I know I got into this, and I'm sure, yeah, I don't know, can't speak for you, but I didn't think about manipulating minds and society and
never
all of that.
Never.
It's so
and that's
weird.
Like that is the great. It's one of like Hollywood is all illusion. The entertainment business is all illusion. And it's like there's this other illusion that Hollywood loves, like, oh, there's nobody funny on the right. There's nobody funny on the right. And they maintain that by not allowing anybody on the right to participate.
Yeah.
So then it's like this self-fulfilling. But you go in like naively going, oh, it's just I just want to write the funniest show.
Right.
I just want to write the best movie, and then you're systematically undercut and noted by the producers and noted by the studio, and they inject their politics into it, and you're like, wow, they know exactly what they're doing.
Exactly.
They know exactly. And this isn't even, it's like partially about entertainment.
No.
But boy, that political message is super important. And it's such a bummer. It's such a bummer.
I know. It takes out all the fun. I saw it. Like you said, in the early 2000s, I was really started working basically for the next 20 years in 99. And I really saw it. It was really fun. And when I first went out there, that's when film festivals were still like film festivals. They weren't all celebrities like that. It was like you were wearing your winter coat and schlepping around in the snow, trying to get into a standing in line for 4 hours. It wasn't like that. And that was like 97, 98. And then at the time, New York and Hollywood were still really fun, I thought, and full of creativity and collaboration. You didn't ask what side of political anything
right.
about anything. For me, when I was making, when my parents were like, why you're not going to film school? If you do, you're on your own. It only took me 22 years to pay it off. But I have to say that I always said, well, I want to make a movie that at the end people couldn't speak for like at least 10 minutes because they were so moved and didn't know what to make of it. And I still feel that way. And I still think there's more of us than there are of them. And what we do need to get rid of are these people that have hijacked the industry. Good thing about you and Greg and all these people is that a document did come out on Judicial Watch, 264 pages, which listed all of the networks, all of the late night hosts, all of the athletes that got paid by Pfizer and by the NIH to promote everything. And it's like,
wow,
I can send you a copy. You won't be shocked.
Yeah, do it.
You should give it to your other friends so they all know who not to trust. But a lot of these people were paid off. And you know what? I just think on the other side of truth and transparency, they got nothing left. So you do.
Yeah.
So let's tell everyone how they can find, everyone can see you on Gutfeld regularly, but how they can find you, how they can go see the show if they're in New York, Long Island, but also if you're in Jersey or Pennsylvania or Connecticut, you can easily get there.
And, yes, and everything. And all over the world. If you just want to watch the show, go to thatshowtonight.com. Thatshowtonight.com is what you need. And then my website and my wonderful podcast and YouTube channel is The Loftus Party and theloftusparty.com.
Well, I congratulate you for staying on YouTube. Everyone that has, I got kicked off 2 years ago. I never tried to go back on or appealed, but anyone that's hanging on there is a hero of mine, because that is not an easy tightrope to walk. But it is a comedian, so how can they take you down, you know?
They can. However, it's Chris Pratt said something wonderful. This is like the, as I'm thinking it, I'm like, this is like wild to say. Chris Pratt said something really wonderful at the MTV Movie Awards. You can't just give your dog a pill. You have to wrap everything up in a lot of cheeseburger. So that's what I'm doing. Like, there's a lot of cheeseburger. Hey, let's just be funny. And like my website, theloftusparty.com, like, hey, look at that. That's awesome. Wow, that's a really attractive bathing suit model right there. That's a bikini show. Hey, what's going on? And then try to stimulate somebody with, like, there's a little nugget of a thought there. Right. I just want, once you can get people to start thinking, you can't turn it off. So I am in the cheeseburger business. Well, and that means staying on YouTube.
It does. And you're not alone. No, but that's also a gift, and it's a talent to figure out how to walk that line where, you know, you still are being effective. You're still getting the message out. At the same time, you know, you're not really hitting people over the head. You know, I go on there and I just talk. There's no way. I went on somebody's show. They were like, they got like a strike in 10 minutes or something. You see my name. That's okay. That's okay. I'll stay on the uncensored Mel K show platform.
That's great. So you need everything though. Right. I want people who are throwing haymakers and just laying it out. And then you need people like me who are like, this is weird. What's going on with that?
I've been saying to people to do kind of what you do, which you're great at it. I mean, it's a skill. It's a real skill. People can't just do it. But to make people think without making them think that you're making them think, it's a very good skill that you've accomplished. So keep working.
I just want to introduce ideas, right? It's like on the other side of it, it's like your buddy who says, hey, we should do shots of tequila at this party. I'm the reverse of that.
Right. Exactly. Well, Michael Loftus, you are one of the funniest guys I know. And I look forward to working with you in the future. Let's definitely collaborate.
Absolutely.
Everyone, please go subscribe to, what's the website again?
Thatshowtonight.com.
Thatshowtonight.com. And subscribe there and support independent creators that are going to take over this entire medium pretty soon. And I think you'll be on the front lines. And I will see you next time.
You're fantastic. Thanks so much for having me. We're going to stay in touch. Collab coming up.
I know. And I know I got lots of stuff I've been holding back for a long time. I used to walk on the set and be like, how is this not being done? There's so much. It's a great future for us both when it comes to comedy. Have a great one. Thank you. Hello, Patriot Pals. I wanted to talk to you a little bit today about our amazing partner, Mel K Superfoods. A lot of people do the food prep programs that they come in, you know, freeze-dried and all of that. This is not that. This is a full serving of fruits and vegetables and protein. It is a way to maintain a healthy diet no matter what you're doing, no matter where you are, no matter what happens in this country. Because again, it's very affordable, and at the same time, it's very easy to follow, and it is like having a full garden outside your house that you're going and picking fresh fruit and fresh vegetables every single day. You have that same nutrients inside your cupboard. You know, prepare now, be ready. A lot of people do prepping stuff. This is an excellent way to prep to make sure that you and your family always have the essential nutrients that you need to live a healthy, full, life out there. Please check out Mel K Superfoods. We're loving the program. We'd love for you to join us. Please get in touch with the show if you're having benefits from the Superfoods program at Mel K Superfoods. We'd love to hear from you. Go to MelKSuperfoods.com and join me in supercharging our wellness journey and living our best, healthiest lives ahead.
Hey, it's Andrew Sorcini at Beverly Hills Precious Metals. I'm here at the Mel K Show. Last year, we helped so many patriots out there protect themselves against inflation with gold and silver. In 2023, we can show you how to preserve what you have, avoid further loss, and position you for greater things for your investments. So the best way for us to help you is for you to go to MelKGold.com, fill out the online form, and put in as much information about yourself as you possibly can. The more information, the more we can help you. So do it right away. The time is crucial as we head into central bank digital currencies. We can show you how to protect your 401k or your IRA, and the costs are minimal.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and my employees and I want to thank each and every one of you for your continued support. With everything going on right now, your rest is so important. That's why we're having the biggest MyPillow sale ever. Not only are my bed pillows as low as $19.98, but you can get the best body pillows ever. Regular $89.98, now only $29.98. Take your rest on the go with our Roll and Go Anywhere MyPillows for only $14.98. And we have our new couch and accent pillows. They aren't just for looks. They have MyPillow's patented adjustable fill that gives you that amazing MyPillow comfort. In this economy, you get the best gifts ever for the best prices ever. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code and you get deep discounts on body, couch, bolster pillows, and so much more, including my original bed pillows for as low as $19.98. Please order now while quantities last.